Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you once again for tuning in to our boardroom chat. I want to give you a little update of what just happened last week. We had one of the most phenomenal knockdown, drag-out, Holy Ghost, power-packed punching. I mean, when I said all that plus this visionary conference.
That's
someone
right.
told me I need to change it to the Visionary Summit.
Summit, wow, that sounds good.
A summit, I don't know.
But
know.
I believe this was our best one yet. In fact, I've been hearing that
every
from
year,
so many people.
Though, you know.
Well, that's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be. Hey, we want to give you a little update. I was going to get something else to talk about, and Cass said, let's talk about some of those
let's
things.
Let's just review, because it was so you had so many powerful points during the whole message, and of course you explained it, but sometimes you just need to marinate in some of that stuff.
Marinate.
And God has, you know what that is,
yeah,
don't
I know
you?
What that is.
Remember how you used to cook?
You used to, oh yeah, yeah, you used to.
Used
it's been a while. I'm after.
You
I'm after pray for God to
grill,
give me the revelation.
You
back.
Used to grill steaks and stuff for
oh,
us.
Oh me,
you
talking
you,
about me?
Not
yeah,
me.
I used to grill. Yeah,
remember they
I
would marinate.
I was pretty good at that, wasn't I?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for you to
oh,
do
it. I quit a long time ago. It's too hot out there.
Well, we could figure that out.
I understand,
do it when it's
I understand.
Not so hot.
But anyway, I want to thank all the people that came, all you that watched online. How many states and
well,
the, I mean,
just
it was a bunch, 32
views
countries?
On all the platform. We had 44 states and 32 nations, countries. Tuning in, watching.
Amen.
And they're still watching.
Over
they're still 80, watching. Right now, we have over
80,000
yeah.
views and things watching this
so far. And there's
what
still people watching.
What a blessing of
it.
The Lord.
You could still go and watch it right now. Maybe you missed it. And
oh,
the
yeah.
same anointing, the same power that's
oh, yeah.
there will touch your life.
And can I explain that when you said it? We say, well, I know it's over with. You know, look at this Bible here. It was wrote over 2,000 years ago. And it's just anointed today. As it was when it was written. So it's the same way. You read, you might want to see somebody's sermon that was preached 30 years ago, 50 years ago, I don't know, 100 years ago, whatever.
Well, I do that all the time.
Yeah, it's still anointed.
I listen to old sermons yeah. from Brother Hagin.
Oh, amen.
Kenneth Hagin,
yeah.
R.W. Schombach.
Yeah.
I even listen to some from T.L. Osborne.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
and
great
even
preacher.
Jesse Duplantis.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. I've been preaching 49 years.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to say thank y'all.
Yes.
And, and you need to go view it. The what I preached on, I did kind of like a series. I did the vision, the ultimate honor and sacrifice. It's such an honor that God would give you something to do, and he knows you can do it. And so we want to talk a little bit about that kind of stuff. And some of you that came, you can review it too, and different things of that nature.
And those maybe that didn't see it or didn't come, it'll give you an appetite or salivate for even more. To
well,
make
I want to read before
desire.
We get into it. I want to read Acts chapter 9 where I took my text here. Acts chapter 9, and Saul of Tarsus had been knocked down. On the road to Damascus, my Lord, just knocked off the horse or the donkey, whatever he was riding. And I want to tell you something, they saw, they heard a voice or didn't hear a voice, but he saw the Lord.
Yeah.
And man, I mean, God did a miracle. This man was a bloodthirsty persecutor. Let me just say, when I say, I mean, he would kill you as soon as look at you because he thought he was doing God a favor. You know, that reminds me of that guy, Osama bin Laden. He blew up people and blew up innocent people thinking that he was doing God a favor, you know, because
yeah.
everybody else were infidels.
Well, even today we have a lot
That's
of
terrible.
People that have been deluded or disillusioned or misinformed, and they do the same thing.
That's
not
so,
clearly
so
on the same level, but they're terrorists.
But I will tell you something. God spoke in Acts chapter 9. Let me read verse 1 first. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and they desired power to do that. And then you'll read verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. The sun of this shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? See, God took that personal.
Yeah.
Jesus took that as a personal shot to him. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? You know, I say that constantly, at least once a day, maybe more. Lord, what do you want me to do? It's one of the greatest statements in the Bible.
That.
You know, he didn't say, why you knock me down? He said, what do you want me to do? And he called him Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And look what Jesus says. Arise, go into the city. It shall be told thee what thou must do. Jesus could have told him everything. But God always uses an individual.
Right.
And he had Ananias waiting to speak a word to Saul of Tarsus. Now, I want to go over to verse 17. Now, let me just say verse 13, God told Ananias to go do it. And he goes, whoa, man, we don't want to get around this guy. This guy, he's got power to kill us all. But look what God said about Saul of Tarsus, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, talking about Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Now, right. Would you choose a guy like that? Probably not. To bear my name before Jesse Duplantis.
And Kathy Duplantis.
That's right. Me with the Gentiles.
Right.
And kings. That's me too.
Yeah.
Because he made us kings and priests.
I'm a king as well.
A queen.
Well.
And a king. Yeah.
A ruler.
But she boss home. Praise God. And the children of Israel.
Call me a hog?
No, I didn't call you a hog. You know, I would never do
Smile
that. You know,
you
pigs
say.
Get fat,
Smile
but hogs get slaughtered. And I'm not calling you a hog.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So when you understand that, he said it's a chosen vessel. So God gave me the title, Vision, the Ultimate Honor and Sacrifice. I've said this in the very first visionary conference that I did in 2009. If you're not talking about your vision is talking about you. Everyone on the planet Earth has a vision that God has given them to do. Now, will they ever acknowledge it? Will they ever do it? That's a horse of a different color because God made you what I call free will.
I love that.
And that's just such a blessing. So why did God tell you to tell me to talk about this today?
Well, I just felt like that it just needed to be, like I said, marinated. Talk about it
okay.
some more. There's certain points that really spoke to me.
What spoke to you?
Well, I wrote a few of them down for
Write
myself.
Say it, man.
But God, and you said God used Paul because he could be used in three different cultures, the Jew, the Greek, and the Roman
that
culture.
Correct.
He was a unique person.
Oh.
And although we didn't see it in the natural. I'm
right.
sure the Jewish crowd didn't see it, but God saw it.
Well, you
so God sees our potential, just like I believe God revealed to me your potential.
That's
like
right.
before you even knew you were called,
oh,
I would tell
right.
you. And in fact, the pastor of our church, once mm-hmm. you got saved,
right.
could see that in you. You didn't see it in yourself. Paul didn't see it in himself either.
I saw my gift.
Saw
my gift.
Till Paul was confronted on that Damascus road by Jesus himself.
Okay, let me interrupt you for just for a second because you get to preach it. But a lot of people don't understand.
What's
okay.
wrong with that?
Not a thing. We see, God used Rome. Rome controlled the whole world, and God used Rome to get the gospel out across the world.
Right.
Nobody would ever think that
because
way.
All roads lead to Rome.
All roads lead
they
to Rome.
Institute
that's
a
good statement. I've never said that doing anything. You should.
Well,
you should have got up
it's
and said
a
that.
Well-known
that's
statement.
It's a well-known statement. Hallelujah.
But they instituted a system of highways and roads which carried the gospel.
Yeah. Now the
strategic.
Reason why God had to use a Pharisee, a Hebrew. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, and my God, man. And I mean, I'm gonna tell you something. He was brilliant. He was smart. But what made him so phenomenal was, and he wasn't very good looking. He didn't speak real right, so he didn't look like
How do you know that?
Because the Bible says that. And you read the Bible, you
might
find
know.
Out.
I don't know.
But he would say, you know, it was the same thing with Jesus. Jesus had just a normal look.
Well, they
look.
Criticized Jesus and well, said sure. he was a wine bearer, but he wasn't.
No, but that's true. That's true. Praise the Lord. Let me finish talking
to him. I have a great
him.
Vision of what he must look like.
Yeah, he must have looked good. Okay. What happened was he could go to any synagogue and speak in their foreign, in their native language. He
right.
knew the law like Moses. Two men in the Bible that really understood in terms of the law was Moses, who was the lawgiver, and Saul of Tarsus. But he also was very smart in Greek because the Greeks wouldn't listen. He could stand in Athens and speak to them about the unknown
yeah,
God.
Yeah, drew a crowd.
So what, and the Greeks were the academic people of that day. And then he was a Roman. Now, people don't know this. Out of all the city of Rome, there was only 3,000 citizens. Everybody else was slaves, workers. So when he said he was a Roman citizen, that's a high order, buddy. Mm. So God used that to get the gospel out. So, Kathy, that's why I want to explain this. So
yeah,
keep talking now what
so
you were
good.
Saying.
No, I like that. But
can I give the point?
Go ahead.
One of the points I said, all that a vision needs is a channel, an instrument by which it is carried. See, I mean, all God needs is someone that's just willing to obey.
That's right.
To believe. Because vision is great power, not only for God's cause, but for your cause.
But I like what verse 15 says when he was talking to Ananias. He says, because Ananias was concerned.
Sure.
He had
yeah.
heard about the reputation of Saul. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto
yes, I
me.
Read that.
Did you read it?
I just read it.
Well, I wanted to read
You're
it
You're not listening to me.
To bear my name before the but think about this. I want you to just pause on that because what does
okay.
it mean to be a chosen vessel? But, you know, God, you have to recognize that all of us are chosen by God to do something. But Paul didn't just, you
what
know,
has
he
God
was,
chose you to do?
But he was chosen, but we have to He's chosen me to be a good wife to you.
Well, no, it's more than that.
He's chosen me to preach the gospel. He's chosen me to be born again
and
to serve him.
And pastor of a church.
Yes. Well, a lot of different things. That's right.
That's right, man. That's the executive branch of God's government, Kathy.
That's a high
calling. The apostle,
calling.
Prophet, evangelist, pastor,
and
teacher.
I received that. You know, at first I was cautious and concerned about it. I really needed to pray, make sure I was hearing from the Lord. But I just, at some point, I knew that I did, and I decided to step into my yes, is how I say it.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And so I remember when I did that day, back in 2017, mm-hmm. It's August, and I made that announcement in the church, and the Lord confirmed it with signs following.
Yes, indeed.
I installed elders in the church, and it was a powerful service. But I remember I said, I'm stepping in with... into my yes, and I said, I'm not using a high heel, I'm using an army boot. But anyway, it was a powerful thing.
And the reason why people need to understand you, and you understand your calling, was a point I said, vision always discerns the meaning of the message with a logic full of power. So that's why Paul could talk to the Greeks. You know, that would be like me going to Yale, Harvard, Princeton, Duke, Columbia. These are high academic blue blood colleges. And speak to these very high academic people. Now, most people would look at me and say, we don't need to talk to him. He's a Cajun from South Louisiana. But this man was qualified to do something.
And anointed
it. In 3 days' time, he went from a killer to one of the most compassionate men for the world. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example of what Ananias was feeling. If, like you, was Jewish and you had to go see Adolf Hitler, and stand before him.
That is very close to what
must have been. Oh, Hitler would kill you in a second, especially if you were Jewish. And if you were a Christian of the way, he called that. Oh, man, he'd take you down in a second. See what I'm saying?
And then when he encountered him, he said something, which you preached in the Sunday service, which blessed me so much, which was just after the visionary conference. Yeah. Brother Saul.
Well, you know, the Sunday morning message, visionary conference was over by Friday night. And normally I would preach something different on Sunday, but I felt led of the Lord to kind of continue in that flow. And for you that came to the Visionary Conference and you didn't hear last Sunday's message, I'd like you to go watch it. Now, let me just say this. I got very brutally honest about myself. I told you some things before I was a sinner. I was a heathen. I was a gangster. I would hurt you. And I said it publicly. Now, that man died and I'm born again. But I had to do, and the reason why God told me to do it, and Kathy don't like me to say it because she wants people to think good about me. Well, I said, thank you, Kathy, for thinking that. But that's the kind of man I was before I was born again, or I call it BC, before Christ. But what happened during that time, her and my brother Wayne, who's in heaven, wanted me to come to that church. It was called Terrebonne Full Gospel Temple in Houma, Louisiana. Just real quickly, I'll just give you they hollered, they did harped, and I did. You know, and I was the typical rock musician with the long hair and everything. Sat on the back pew, was very, very respectful, and he gave an altar call. Bowed my head like tells everybody else to do, and then Kathy was hoping and praying, so was Wayne, that I might answer that call. And then I heard this voice, and it wasn't God. It was Pastor Sidney Rafer, wonderful man of God. He said, hey, you back there with the long hair, you want to get saved? And it dawned on me. I remember thinking, that fool talking to me. Now, this is Sunday morning. Imagine you going to church, whether you're Catholic or Protestant. And I said, and I started cursing. This is Sunday morning, in front of everybody. I'm
foul
using the F
language.
Word.
Oh.
Foul. I said, I'll kill you. It made me so mad because before I was born again, I was raised on the streets of New Orleans with La Cosa Nostra. And, you know, I was raised that way. And, you know, and my grandfather used to say, alligator got to eat. That's what the Mississippi River for. I would have killed that man. And I said, oh, no, but Judge, you can't do that. No, that man died. That guy Jesse died.
You were like Acts chapter 9, verse 1, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter
my brother
against
grabbed
the church
me.
In Houma, Louisiana.
Yeah, my brother grabbed me, was pulling me out, and Kathy, and everybody didn't know
he
what
put
to
his
do.
Hand over. Tried to put his hand over your mouth.
Boy,
you were pretty hard to handle.
Yeah, I was hard to handle. I mean, I was on one side pushing,
Wayne was on another side pulling.
This one was seeing me put guns to people's heads. I ain't proud of that. Anyway, let's get away from that part.
Yeah, let's
I
do that.
I told that on Sunday morning, brutally honest, but I got born again.
Right.
And Wayne
praise
and Kathy
Lord.
Once again asked me if I'd go back to that church. I was so embarrassed. I was never going to step in that church. I cussed the people out. I wanted to kill the pastor, everything like that. Now watch this. But this man, Brother Rafe, who's now in heaven, a wonderful man, he had heard I got saved. The guy that cussed him wanted to kill him. I would have done it.
He did it because he cared for your soul.
Yeah, but what would he say? The exact same thing that Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, Brother Rayford told me. When I walked in, I was about ready to say this. Brother Rayford, Reverend Rayford, that's what I was going to say. I'm sorry. And I was going to tell him I got born again. He looked at me. And it touches me when I think about it. And it touched me Sunday when I said it. And he went, Brother Jesse. He saw my gift. He hugged me. Now, watch for this, what Ananias says in verse 17. I've read it 100 times, but I didn't see it till Sunday morning. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him, this is Saul of Tarsus, and said, Brother Saul. He accepted, that's unreserved forgiveness. Mm. Right there. Unreserved. There was four men in Saul of Tarsus' life that affected him. One was Stephen. That was the first one. He held the coats.
Right.
While they were killing Stephen, Saul of Tarsus. Yeah. Number two, Ananias. My God. Unreserved forgiveness.
Right.
Number three, Agabus. Agabus was a prophet that grabbed his tunic and said, whoever wears this, he's going to suffer. The Jews are going to try to kill him, and they tried to do
bind
that.
Bind him up, right.
And then Barnabas, whose name was Joseph, but he was such an encourager, they gave him a new name, Barnabas, son of consolation. And Barnabas saved the apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, for the church, because the church gave Saul of Tarsus the cold shoulder.
Stiff-armed him.
They didn't want to do it, And so he went back to Tarsus.
The left foot of fellowship.
But guess what happened? The Holy Ghost broke out in Antioch. And that's when we were called Christians. And Barnabas, who was such a generous man, first one that sold all his property and gave it to the church.
Laid it at the feet of the apostles.
I'm telling you, man, this man was something. Phenomenal man. Watch this. Saul brought him back. Now, I'm going to show you how much he knew about the law. He understood the Old Testament. Saul of Tarsus. When he got born again, got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, he went out immediately. This is before Barnabas sees him.
Right.
And he preached Jesus Christ. He didn't preach the resurrection. He could have. He preached Jesus as the Son of God. Now, if you want to make the Jews mad as a hornet, now as well as back then, preach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But he understood it and knew it.
He had a revelation of it.
Everybody stiffed on him. They were scared, see. But Barnabas brought him to Antioch to explain this. And when you read that, and I believe it starts out with Barnabas and Saul. Oh, I got to say this. Barnabas did not have no jealousy. He did not have no envy.
Precious.
He was just a precious man, okay? Mm. Now, I wish I could say they were happy all their lives, but they got into a quarrel. But you find two chapters later, it is swapped over. Mm-hmm. Instead of Barnabas and Saul, now it's Paul and Barnabas, which did not bother Barnabas at all.
And Silas.
What's that?
Paul and Silas.
No. This is when he went out.
Okay.
Because they went out with John Mark. Mm. See, they went out with John Mark, which was the nephew of Barnabas. But John Mark couldn't handle the heat, and he went back, and he made him mad. That's when the quarrel started. Now, let me tell you something. He said, I will not take John Mark. This is Paul. He kind of aggravated with it. And the church sided with Paul. But actually, Barnabas was nearer to God than Paul right there. Because, you see, he was generous. He wanted to take John, but he didn't. He said, I want Silas, Paul and Silas. Now, watch. This is why they went out by two. First, it was Barnabas and Saul. And if you go through the Bible, you see they went out by two. Now, Silas, he's my kind of man. You can beat him, punch him, kick him, knock him in the head. He sings songs in the night. Glory to God. Bleeding like a stuck on. Thank you, Jesus. And I like that kind of guy. But you know what? Barnabas was right. Because this great apostle Paul sends a letter and says, bring John Mark to me. He's profitable to my ministry. Right. He realized, you got to give some time to grow up a little bit.
The same passion and kindness that Barnabas demonstrated toward Paul, he demonstrated toward John Mark.
That's right.
Now, John Mark, of course, wrote the Gospel of Mark. So, I mean, he recovered for whatever that challenge was.
Let me tell you what he was. Paul wanted to pull him out of his ministry. He wasn't an evangelist. Right. Silas is an evangelist. He's a radical evangelist.
Gotta know your calling.
See, but this man's a writer and a teacher. So anyway, to make a long story short, that's that Sunday morning message for you that came.
I love that.
But you didn't stay over. It
and
will bless
so
you.
And there's so much more to it. You got to go hear the whole thing.
It is. But when Brother Rayford looked at me and said, "Brother Jesse," immediately I thought about Acts chapter 9, verse 17. When Ananias looks at him,
he didn't see his past.
No, that's unreserved forgiveness.
Right.
And he said, "Brother Saul."
He saw his present.
And buddy.
And his future.
Because of those four men, we got the Bible. He wrote 2/3 of the Bible.
The New
Paul
Testament.
Paul the Apostle. The New Testament. I mean, it was just such a blessing.
You know, I like one point that you made during the missionary conference that I wrote down that I think flows right now with what we're talking about. It says, "Vision always demands moral courage, separation and honor."
Oh, yes.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
I mean, that was one of the points that just, there's so much there. Because when you receive vision, you have a responsibility to that, to honor that. And it's going to take moral courage to walk through.
And you know what moral courage means? If you make mistakes, people will not forget your mistakes.
Well, even before he came to God, he had a lot of things he did wrong, so he had to walk past that.
Amen.
Even though he knew when he would confront people who knew his past, he couldn't keep his eyes on his past if he wanted to go forward. So he had to have that moral courage to keep going toward the vision that God had placed in his heart. He called him to be a light to the Gentiles. A light means you bring truth, you bring the power of God to this.
You bring forgiveness, too.
Forgiveness you just bring.
And can I mention something real quickly here? Brother Jimmy Swagger just passed away not long ago, and I wish I could have been at his
memorial.
I couldn't. But anyway, I met Jimmy and Francis and Donnie. We were in Baton Rouge. We went and get something to eat, me and Leroy Thompson, there in the Baton Rouge area. And this is when he was about 86 and
a half.
Kathy
and Carolyn were there, too.
Kathy and Carolyn, yeah, and all that kind of stuff. And when I walked in, I looked at, and I knew Jimmy Swaggart very well. Very, very well. We played piano together, the same piano. I would play the high register, he played the low register. We switched around at Brother J. Don George's church and home on Christmas. We would go for a Christmas party. And this is many, many years ago. And anyway, and you know, everybody always thinks about the fall, you know. But let me help you here. He repented. He repented. Again, people made fun of the repentance and all this kind of craziness. They didn't understand unreserved forgiveness. Mm-hmm. He came up to me in the restaurant, Brother Jimmy Lee Swaggart, and like Jerry Lee Lewis, they're all first cousins, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And he grabbed me and he hugged me. He had tears in his eyes, touching me when I think about it. This is when he, about 3 years ago, 3 years ago. And he said, "Jesse," and he knew me. He had invited me to eat, preach at his church, and also to do study in the Word. All this stuff. This way back when. He said, "I've always loved you." And we hugged each other. And because I've been knowing him all these years. And then Francis, Sister Francis came up. And y'all need to pray for her, too, because even though Jimmy's in heaven, that ain't easy. You see what I'm saying? And she said, "Well, how's Jesse?" She hugged me. It was wonderful. I saw Donnie sitting there. And I looked at Donnie, and I don't know if he'll remember it or not. And I said, "Donnie, that son of yours, that Gabriel boy, you know, because now I'm old, you know what I'm saying, compared to Gabriel." I said, "That's a preaching machine." What a blessing. Do you understand? I didn't think about what happened back then. And I'm not bragging on myself. See, that's an Ananias effect. That's unreserved forgiveness. We loved each other. Oh, that's a Barnabas effect, me and Brother Swag. That's generosity. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? I think about Agabus, and Jimmy suffered for that mistake. You know it, and I know it. But you know,
he recovered.
He recovered, for God's sake, man. Now think about that. And it was so. And then Stephen, somebody has got to lead the way, and they were stoning him. And he said, "Lord, don't lay this sin against their charge." Saul of Tarsus heard him say that. You see, and it affected people.
I'm sure it continued to echo in his heart.
Oh,
God, you know
it did.
If you don't hear a statement like that
yeah.
and see what someone's going through and then you forget about it, it wouldn't leave him. I'm sure God
yeah.
used that.
That point
to
right there talks what? About that. Extraordinary belief is a preparation for extraordinary service.
Right, that's a great point.
You know, and when I even said that, your vision must always be thirsty, and from that thirst must come intoxication. Mm. Now, a lot of people don't understand those things, you know, and I understand that. But I want to say this one point, if it's okay with you, real quickly.
Of course.
You can't move your vision to fruition being lukewarm. Can't
sure.
do that.
Sure.
There is an infinite distance between wishers and doers. Mm. Too much caution and lack of confidence are fatal enemies of vision. In other words, you got to step out and believe God. You got to do what the Apostle Paul considered, Abraham considered not staggering and fully persuaded. Now, how could he do that? Romans 4:17, I would tell everybody to learn it, study it, memorize it. Calling those things which be not as though they were. Romans 4:17.
That's a powerful verse.
That's such a powerful. So, Kathy, I know we're talking
that.
About
no,
this.
But one of the I didn't write down some of those as the ones I wanted to talk about
okay,
today,
go ahead.
But those are great.
Yes.
But one thing I really loved was that and it's been staying with me. It says your vision must always be thirsty, and from that thirst must come intoxication.
I just read that.
Did you really?
Oh, you listen to me.
How can I not hear that?
Okay. Well, good, because see, you're in the zone there. You got the Holy Ghost on you there. Yeah, that's good.
Really?
But talk about it. Go ahead.
But I love that because it was so important because you said intoxicated people do crazy things.
Well, yeah, intoxicated people are very honest. You get somebody drunk, son, they're going to tell you what they think. You can find out all the secrets in the world from an intoxicated person.
I remember from the days that I'd be around you and you were drunk and you'd say things you shouldn't have said.
I know it.
I remember you
walked
in
this. You know, the past
this...
never sees the future. Help of Jesus.
But
Help of Jesus.
I'm using this as an illustration. And so I remember you walked into that house when you were drunk and you looked at and the house was a wreck. You said, God, what hit this place? Normally you wouldn't say anything, but you did.
Yeah,
you said, God,
drinking.
What hit this place?
Yeah, I was...
And remember, you. Yeah,
yes,
but,
I know.
But you know, if you still have to be truthful. But that
yeah.
was a... And she got a wake-up call.
And Kathy just put the God on me, man. And it would make me sing a song, Nobody Knows the Trouble. This woman had focused on me, had the crosshairs on me. And Brother Rafer accepted me and taught me.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Jesse, that's what touched my heart.
Right.
He did the same thing Ananias did.
Yes.
I lost all that. I'm not that. I'm not that man.
Amen.
In fact, it's not me that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. I'm going to say with Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, it's not me that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, right now as I'm speaking to you, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave himself for me. Then he said a statement that people need to listen to. I do not frustrate the grace of God.
That's good.
You know what that means? We ought to do a whole boardroom chat on that.
Yeah.
In other words, just because you have grace, because God forgives you everything, doesn't mean you sin more. Even Paul said that, because grace abounds, sin abounds more, God forbid.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So we want to talk a little bit about this today, and I'm glad you brought that up. Read a couple of testimonies, baby.
Yes, because some of them came from people that were watching the Visionary Conference. This one says, John, watching from Ghana, Africa, it is a privilege and a blessing to view this live
Amen.
Fellowship. Nibia says, watching from Uruguay, South America, we are partners.
Oh, thank you for being a partner.
Yes, we so appreciate that. And Sebastian said, watching from Finland, the Holy Spirit touched me at the giving part, so good.
The giving part?
Yeah.
Yeah, we received an offering. And we don't browbeat people about finance. We want you to be a partner because of this anointing of increase that's on me
Amen.
And Kathy. I'll talk about that in a minute. Go ahead, Kathy.
And then this one says, I was there at Visionary for the first time, and I'm from Brazil. So Brazil
My
was in
Lord.
The house. So many people were... They're locally from different nations, but also watching from all over the world. Kathy says, I'm blessed to sow into this visionary service.
My Lord
Thank
Jesus.
You. So they
Thank
gave
you,
in the house as well as online to help us to do what God's called us to do, to fulfill our visions. And Susie says, Thank you, Jesus. I receive all healings, deliverance, prosperity, wisdom, and anointing that is released in this service in Jesus' name.
My God.
Isn't that powerful? And Joanne says, This is my first time watching the Visionary Conference, and it has been amazing. I needed to hear this word. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
And Phil says, I love you so much. Your spirit is so pure. I am going to partner with you. I have never heard you preach live. So this was a first timer.
My Lord, isn't that something?
I have three more, and we read them?
Yeah.
As Sandy says, my daughter was saved at 18 years old in a Jesse Duplantis meeting, and she is now leading around 100 souls to Jesus by day and leading worship by night.
Isn't that a blessing of God?
Equipping, hallelujah. Ooh. And then Brenda says, what an honor and a privilege to be in this conference. The entire experience has given me so much hope. I laughed, I cried, and the word of God was life-changing. Thank you for serving our risen Savior. And the last one says, watching the conference on replay, but the anointing is still the same.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. I do this. It's only a Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night. It's every year in July. And people love it so much. And I don't talk about myself per se. I talk about the vision of God. The only time I talk about Jesse Duplantis ministry vision is when I receive an offer, because I'm very strong about that. I want people to know where their money goes.
Well, why don't you tell them the dates too for next year while you're at it?
Do you have them?
I think we have the dates of 2026.
Visionary 2026 is July.
It starts
9th.
On your birthday.
Okay, again, that's good. Thursday night. July the 9th and 10th at JDM International Headquarters right here. Registration's free.
Yes.
All you got to do is go to jdm.org. And registration free. It don't cost you to come to our church.
That's right.
See what I'm saying?
Or any conference.
Or any conference. Anytime we do that. You just go to jdm.org and you'll be blessed.
Yeah, and it's a Thursday night, Friday morning, and Friday night.
That's it.
But feel free to come early and enjoy the city and stay later.
The food is
generally
phenomenal.
Jesse will preach on the Sunday morning at our local church.
I didn't know I was going to do that.
I'm inviting you right now.
You're calling those things to be
I'm
not.
Inviting you.
And okay.
I think it seemed good to me in the Holy Ghost.
Yes, that's right. No, you got me right there. So, ladies and gentlemen, we just wanted to do a little update. And I want to thank y'all from the bottom of my heart. And I want to thank all the partners. And listen to me. I want to say this. There's no secret sin here. None. Not in Kathy. Not in me. We live honorably. We live holy. Now, I am a very prosperous man. And people get mad at me about that. But that's not my fault. The Bible said, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. I remember him every day. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. I'm not taking your money or touching your money. And I mean, even the IRS believes in me. Can you believe that? Because they audited me. You understand? They audited all that stuff. Because we don't do that. I'd like you to be a part of this anointing of increases on me. We've had so many people just get blessed. I met a man. Where did we just go eat that? Well, it's neither way where the restaurant was. He said, 2 years ago, you said that when you'd come back next year, you'd be millionaires. He said, I'm one of those. Right there at Copeland's, we was waiting at. He said, I'm one of those millionaires. I became a millionaire. You spoke that. I gave a word of knowledge at the Visionary Conference that bonuses were coming. This is 10 o'clock on Friday night. You know, normally your boss or the company don't call you. A bunch of people were leaving. They came back running in. And the company executive said, we decided. They were all excited to give bonuses to everyone.
Right.
Two different sets of people, two different companies.
Right.
This anointing of increases on me. I want you to become a partner. Me and Kathy are debt-free, been debt-free since 1982. I want this to happen to you. If God did this for me, why wouldn't he do this for you? Because he's no respecter person.
That's right.
If you'd like to be a partner, you go to jdm.org. That's our website. You can donate whatever you want. If you don't want to, don't. Now, you don't hear many preachers say that. I mean, just do whatever the Lord tells you to do. And if he don't tell you to do it, don't do it. You can use PayPal if you want. You can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one. You can go to JDM app, which is free, and select the giving you want. Or you can mail in an old-fashioned check donation. 100% of it goes into world evangelism. 100%. Did you hear me say that? I'm already taken care of. God's been good and gracious to me. And let me tell you something. I want to make an announcement. And I felt led of the Lord to do this after the Visionary Conference. I mean, I was dog tired. You hear me say this if you see the Sunday service. I'm so glad all of you came. But I'm so glad all of you are going home, man. I mean, I needed some sleep. I was running hard. But I think a week from today, maybe, is it next Thursday or something like that? We're going to have a live.
Yeah, instead of at 3 o'clock post, I think we're going to go live at 6 o'clock.
At 6 o'clock, I think it is. I want to talk.
And we want to be able to interact with you live.
I want to interact and speak. I want to talk about partnership. I want to talk about not because, listen, I'm not broke. We ain't broke. We're far from broke. But I don't want you broke no more. I'm tired of people struggling when God can bless you in the city, bless you in the field. And we're going to ask people to become partners. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But you know what? If you don't become a partner, still watch our programs. But I'm telling you, listen to me. And I don't know how many people have told me this. I started giving to your ministry. My company's blessed. Things are blessed. And you know why? Not because me and Kathy got such great faith. I don't believe I got any more faith than you have. I might have a little more obedience. I don't know. And there's no secrets in here. None. Zero. Buddy, when I got born again on Labor Day weekend 1974, God cut sin out of my life. I mean, just like so all the time. Now, I'm not comparing myself to that great, great man. But our testimony was the same.
Similar.
And it was just such a blessing. Thank you for listening today. Tell people about our ministry. You get a chance to come see me when I preach it somewhere or Kathy preach it. Mm-hmm. Do that if you can, and you'll be blessed. Jesse and Kathy saying we love you. We'll see you soon. God bless you. Bye-bye.